we have, I've spoken a lot, I feel like, over the last couple of months about who we are called to be as followers of Jesus Christ and the fact that we are supposed to be the message, that God has called us to live a certain way. We're called to live the way of Jesus. We are loving, we are kind, we are gentle. We are not boastful or arrogant or proud. We don't fight with the weapons of this world. We love our enemies. We bless those who curse us. We don't delight in the death of anybody. We desire that everybody would find redemption and life in Jesus Christ. That's who we are. Our freedom as those who follow Jesus isn't the freedom to do whatever we want to do, is it? Our freedom is the freedom to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength and to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is what God has set us free to do, to be the kind of humans that he created us to be. And we never quite fit in any culture, in any nation, in any political party. We never quite fit in because we are called to represent a kingdom that is not yet here in all its fullness. And we're called to be salt and light, distinct and different from whatever world, whatever culture, whatever nation in which we live. That's who we are. That's who we are. And it's through our lives that God is speaking the message of salvation. But if we were to perfectly do all the things I've been preaching about the last few weeks, if you were to perfectly be who God has called you to be, loving and kind and gentle and blessing your enemies and all those kinds of things, we would not come anywhere close to being who God has called us to be if we did not clearly articulate to those around us the good news of Jesus Christ. It is not enough simply to live the way of Jesus if we are not willing to speak the truth about Jesus. And we have to speak the truth, because if we don't speak the truth about Jesus and we don't tell people why we live the way we live and why we have the hope that we hope, it is possible for them to get exactly the wrong idea. President Trump said last Sunday, and everybody relax, I don't think this is gonna cause a lot of conflict. President Trump said last Sunday, speaking in regards to his chances of getting into heaven and about finding peace in Ukraine, he said this: "If I can save 7,000 people a week from being killed, I think that's pretty. I want to try to get to heaven if possible." A week before that, speaking about the same thing, trying to get peace in the Ukraine and his desire to get to heaven someday, he said this: "I'm hearing that I'm not doing well. I'm really at the bottom of the totem pole. But if I can get to heaven, this will be one of the reasons." And he was speaking about bringing peace to Ukraine. And respectfully, Mr. President, no, it won't. It won't be one of the reasons that he will get to heaven. And now, you never know whether Trump's being telling a joke or not sometimes, right? So I don't know what he really believes about how he gets to heaven. But we all need to know this is not the way that we get to heaven. No Nobel Prize is going to get him to heaven. Nothing he does as president of the United States is going to get him to heaven. None of it is going to factor in whether or not he has eternal life in the kingdom of God, right? But if we don't tell people, and if it's not clearly articulated to those around us why we live the way we live and why we do the things that we do, it's possible that they will get exactly the wrong message from our lives. We have to speak the truth about Jesus Christ. We have to show them and we have to tell them. Listen to what Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says. "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." All right, Paul writes to the church at Rome, and Paul says, man, my heart and my desire is for my Jewish brothers and sisters to be saved. That was his heart, and that's what he was longing for. He believed that they were living in a world filled with death, dysfunction, and disorder, and he believed that outside of a proper relationship with God through Jesus Christ, they were adding to the death, dysfunction, and disorder, and Paul longed and desired for them to be released from a life that destroys and diminishes and devalues God's good creation, and that they would be connected to God, and live in a right relationship with God and become a part of God's kingdom in releasing blessing and life to all the world. And Paul says, I long for this. Paul says, this is my desire. And if you read Paul's letters, you know it wasn't simply a head thing. Paul's heart, he deeply desired that people would get saved, that they would come into a right relationship with God. He longed for it and he desired it. As we begin this new series of messages about speaking the truth about Jesus Christ, this is probably the most important question that we need to ask ourselves over the next few weeks. Do I long and desire for people to get saved? Do I long and desire the people who don't know God through Jesus Christ would come to know him? Have I spent any time in the last week concerned about that, thinking about that, over the last month, over the last 6 months? Do I have a heart for this? Here's why I think this is so important, especially as we go into this series right here. I have discovered that people don't care about things until they care about things. Have you ever tried to talk about to teenagers about setting up a retirement account? You can talk to them, but they're not listening, all right? Because they don't care. Now, you talk to somebody who's 55 years old and suddenly they're really attentive, aren't they? If I decided today to teach you how to set a broken bone in your leg, if you're ever lost in the wilderness with no cell phone reception and forced to self-recover, I guarantee you that many of you would check out, because you never plan on being lost in the wilderness with no cell phone reception and a broken leg. But if you were lost in the wilderness and your bone was sticking out of your leg and you had no cell phone reception and you had to self-recover, and I had a video on how to set your leg so that you could get out, would you listen? Yeah, you'd listen. Listen, it won't do much good, anything I teach about telling people about Jesus, if you don't care about telling people about Jesus. And that's a hard issue. I can't teach you into that. I could make you feel guilty, but that won't work very long. That's a hard issue. Do I care? You're around people every day. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to Latin America. You're around people every day who don't know Jesus and who are going to spend eternity separated from him. And do you care? And listen, if you come to the place and you're just honest, God loves our honesty. And if this morning you say, you know, truthfully, I hadn't spent much time at all thinking about anybody that I know getting saved. You're not alone. You're not alone. If there's somebody here today and you've gone through your whole life at 100% passion for lost people to get saved, God bless you, because that's not where I've been. It's not where most of the people I know have been. There have been times in my life where I've become aware that my heart's grown a little bit cold. And that suddenly I'm going through life and I'm going through even church life, enjoying church, not really passionate about people who don't know him getting saved. And what God would love, if that's where we are, it's okay. It happens to some of us from time to time. What God would love is our honesty. Because while you can't make yourself love your unsaved neighbors anymore. Have you ever tried that before? We talk about that from time to time. You can't make yourself love more, can you? You ever tried? Love your neighbors more. Care more. Everybody care more right now. You can't do it, can you? You can be made guilty. You can be scared. But you can't change your heart. But we know one who can, don't we? We know one who can, who does change our heart. And for some of us, this is the most important thing we have to do over the next few weeks. We simply begin to pray a very simple prayer. Lord, increase my love and break my heart for what breaks yours. Lord, increase my love. I can't do it. I can't fix it. But my love has grown cold. And honestly, God, I don't care that much. I care more about what's happening in politics. I care more about the price of groceries. I care more about my next vacation than I care whether my neighbor who doesn't know you is going to spend eternity in hell. And God, I can't fix that. But I know it's wrong. And so will you help me? God loves that prayer. And I have prayed that prayer more than once in my life and seen God honor that prayer in his way, where he alone changes our hearts and begins to break our hearts for the things that break his, because it breaks God's heart for anybody that he's created to spend eternity separated from him. It's not what God wants. It breaks his heart. And he wants our hearts to break for those same things. And so for some of us right now, it's like, okay, this, just commit to, if you're honest and the Holy Spirit's just giving you a moment of clarity, then will you pray that prayer, Lord, increase my love and break my heart for what breaks yours. That's a simple prayer, but it's costly. It's a simple prayer, but it's costly. But it's life. Suddenly, when we remember what life is about, man, everything else in life begins to find its proper place, and we're now on task. Man, we're beginning to move and see what life is about. So encourage us to begin in that place right there. Let's keep reading what Paul says. The next verse, verse 2 of Romans 10. For I can testify about them, he's talking about the Jewish people, I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Paul says the Jews are passionate about God. He says they are passionate about him, but they are missing a key piece of the puzzle, that the one that they have looked for, that the king who is going to come, who is going to begin to set all things right, and who is going to bring his kingdom, everything that the law pointed to, it pointed to Jesus Christ. And he says, because they have not accepted the righteousness that comes from God. Now, when we hear the word righteousness, we tend to think of morality. When Paul uses the word righteousness, he's most often talking about right relationship. Because they have missed the righteousness that comes from God, because they have missed the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, so that they're put in a right relationship with God, so that they might release blessing in life to all creation, because they've missed that righteousness, Paul says, they tried to find a righteousness their own way. They sought to establish their own way to be right with God. Now, were the Jews sincere in seeking a right relationship with God? Paul says they were. He says they were zealous. They were sincere. But they were wrong. And there are times when we overvalue sincerity. And we think as long as somebody's sincere, it's okay. If you're about to climb on an airplane and you discover that the pilot has never flown an airplane, never been trained to fly an airplane, but sincerely believes he's a pilot, do you feel good? You're like, hey, he's so sincere though. I mean, doesn't that bring you assurance? It's like, that's okay. Sincere. Now, it's not okay at times to be sincerely wrong. If the doctor who's about to open you up has never done surgery and never been to medical school and has no idea about what he's doing, but he seems really sincere, you go and have at it, doc. Yeah. Yeah, you can be sincerely wrong. And Paul says that the Jewish people, they are sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. We live in this moment in an increasingly spiritual time. All the studies are telling us, all the demographic studies are telling us, we live in an increasingly spiritual time. People want to connect with God or whatever they spiritual force they believe is out there. People sense that things are not the way they should be. People sense that there should be more. People are actually longing for something. They don't even know what it is. But they long for something they have not seen and they cannot name. And they are sincerely seeking to connect with that thing, that purpose, that spiritual force, which they know seems to exist, it ought to exist, things aren't right. And they are sincerely seeking. Paul says, There's only two ways, though, of being right with God. There's a righteousness that comes from God through Jesus Christ. And there's a right relationship with God that people make up for themselves that is ultimately going to leave them empty and lost. And so Paul says in verse 9, Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you declare Jesus is Lord, and he doesn't simply mean because you say some words. He means if you are so convinced in your life that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you will speak it and declare it without regard to cost. If you've come to believe this, that he is Lord, he is the one the Old Testament prophesied would come to make all things right, that he is Lord, that he defeated sin and evil and death, and that he is the rightful king of all creation. If you believe and declare that he is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, that death could not defeat him, that he is alive and ruling today, that he is the king over all creation who through the church is now bringing life and blessing, and the kingdom of God is breaking in even now under his rulership, and it is one day gonna come again in all its fullness. If you declare that he is Lord and you believe that Christ was raised from the dead, Paul says, you will be saved. And he wants you to know it's the same for everybody. Listen to what he says beginning in verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's no difference between the Jews and anybody else, because Gentiles, everybody but the Jews. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul says it's the same truth for everybody. There is a right way that we come into relationship with God from God. And the sincerity of the Jews doesn't change that there's one way that people come into a right relationship with God. Now, if all that is true, then listen to what Paul says in verse 14. How then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Paul says, if all this is true, how can someone who doesn't know Jesus actually come to know him? How can they call on the name of Jesus if they don't know that Jesus is Lord and that he's been resurrected? And if they haven't heard about him, how can they know him? And how can they hear about him if nobody tells them? Paul says somebody has to tell somebody the good news about Jesus Christ, that he is Lord, that he was resurrected from the dead, and that he is alive, king of all creation today. Somebody actually has to speak that message. He ends that passage right there with this quote from Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Sometimes when you read quotes like that in the New Testament, you should go back and read where it comes from in the Old Testament, because that quote is from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. And the context of that verse is that the Israelites have been conquered by the Babylonians. And when the Babylonians conquered Israel, they destroyed the temple. They ravaged the city, and they took anybody who had any value at all as slaves and captives in Babylon. And in around Isaiah 48, Isaiah begins to prophesy that their time of captivity is going to come to an end, that God is gonna restore them, and God is gonna bring them home again. And Isaiah 52, 7 is this picture of a runner who is running over the hills. He is a messenger running through the hills, preparing to go to Jerusalem and to shout, the people of God are coming home. And this city that was ravaged and abused and destroyed by humans is gonna be restored to all its glory. God is gonna bring his people home, and it's not simply gonna be a blessing to the nation of Israel, it's gonna be a blessing to all the world. Paul says to the church at Rome, how will anybody know this? How will anybody know this? That the King is coming. In a world ravaged by sin and death and dysfunction and disorder, God's bringing all his people home. God's bringing his people home. He's restoring what's been ravaged and torn apart. His kingdom is coming. And he's inviting everyone. It's his desire that every single person alive would come and be a part of this kingdom that he's restoring to the earth. And he's inviting everybody to come. But how can they know if nobody tells them? What you see, the way things are, it's not supposed to be this way. And it's coming to an end. The good news is being announced to the world. He's coming. He's going to make all things right. And you've been entrusted with this message. You've been entrusted with this message. And God has placed you in families. He's placed you in a community. He's placed you in grocery stores. He's placed you at work. He's placed you everywhere you find yourself. He's placed you in some specific places because there are people in those places who don't know Jesus. And God loves them. And it's through you that God wants them to hear the good news. Because there are people all around us. They're sincerely seeking. They know there's got to be more than this. They put their hope in a marriage and it didn't last. They put their hope in getting the kids grown up and sent to college and that didn't last. They put their hope in having some vacation and that didn't satisfy it. There's people all around you who are hungry to simply hear. The King is coming, and he's bringing all his children home. I want to invite you this week to simply begin to ask God to open your eyes. Let's begin this series this way. Lord, open our eyes to the people around us that you love that don't know you. Because we get a little bit blind. We see our own problems. We see our own lies. We see our own stuff. But we stop seeing the people that God is calling us to love. We stop seeing that God has placed us, that there is more to our life than us. And God has placed us in some places to reach some people. And so I want to invite us this week just to pray, God, open my eyes. Help me to see the people around me that you love. And the Holy Spirit loves to do that. Man, the Holy Spirit loves to open up our eyes so we begin to look at the people all around us. You don't have to go anywhere to open up our eyes to the people around us that God wants to speak a message to. God, open my eyes. Help me to see again. Some of us go, what if I actually have to say something? I don't know what to say. Or I'm afraid. We're going to talk about all that. In the next few weeks. But it won't matter if you don't love them. And it won't matter if you don't care. And it won't matter if you can't see them. But if you would begin to love them, and God would begin to kindle a fire in our hearts for the people who don't know him, and our hearts would begin to break for what God's heart breaks for, and if our eyes began to be open and we saw the people around us who don't know him and we realized this is why we're where we are today, man, if that would happen, we'd come next week and you guys would be hungry. Man, you'd be like, Jeff, tell us. We've got to know. We could teach and you'd hear. People would listen and destinies would be changed. But it's enough this week. For most of us, it's enough for most of us this week to pray those simple prayers. God, increase my love. Increase my love. And if your heart's grown cold, you're not alone. You're not alone. God loves your honesty. God loves your honesty. God loves to answer that prayer. God, my heart's grown cold. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Lord, open my eyes. I've just been going through life, rarely seeing beyond my own nose. And it's been all about me. And yet there are people around me who don't know you. Is there any bigger deal in your life than that? Is there anything going on in your life that should take your mind off that? That there are people around you who don't know him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that somebody told us about Jesus. They lived in a way that we listened to them. So Father, we pray that you would help us to live in a way that authenticates the message. But we know that there's no amount of Christian living and good deeds that will